appreciate everybody covering a bunch of bases that they don't normally have to cover because of my silly broken foot. But I appreciate everybody stepping up the way they have. I appreciate the weekend that we've had. And all the preachers made it home safe. Well, some of them are still here. And we're going to listen to a couple of them this morning. We've asked Brother John Telewinski to keep the theme of the conference. We see Jesus as the captain of our salvation. And I've asked him to take the Sunday school hour, which is now. And so we'll have him to come. But just before he does, I trust that you've been praying for him. And for Brother Bowen, for myself, as we stand in the pulpit throughout the day. And I trust that even as we're preaching, you don't stop praying, but you keep right on praying. And there is an acquaintance of mine down in southern Ohio, a man by the name of Roger Reed. He lost his wife last night. And you pray for him. Pray for his family. So bow with me, if you would. Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful weekend that we've been able to have. And so many different messages, all focused on the same theme. We look forward to keeping that theme alive today. And I pray for Brother Telewinski, Lord, that you settle him, calm him, give him the ability to deliver that which you've laid upon his heart. Lord, I pray that through your sweet spirit directing his thoughts, we would again see Jesus. And especially those amongst us that may not know you, we pray, Lord, for your convicting spirit to bear down upon bringing repentance before you and faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that you'd use the messages today not only to bring rejoicing in the saved, but to bring conviction to the lost. And we pray that it be a godly repentance that is the beginning of a changed life. So we ask, Lord, continue to guide each one. Brother Bowen, follow in a little bit. We thank you for it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother John?
Warning. Last night I went to go over my notes and felt the Lord change the direction of the way I was. What I was originally going to bring, still similar, but just a little bit different. And man, I tossed and turned all night, nervous and stressing. And is this what the Lord has for me? Is it going to be confusing? Is it going to be easy to follow? And I get here this morning, and the nerves and that feeling of uncertainty was still there. And I'm talking to Daniel, and I said, "Man, following all the men that preached Friday night and yesterday, I was like, there's the Hall of Famers and now the rookies coming up." And Daniel corrected me and said, "More like the water boy." So that helped. But probably a more accurate picture. But no, by God's grace, hopefully you guys will follow along and it'll make sense and it'll be a blessing to you. But the title of this message is going to be The Danger of Neglecting the Captain of Our Salvation. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll read the first three verses. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I want to take a moment and look at that first verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. To give heed is to pay attention, to consider. But it doesn't just say we ought to give heed to the things which we have heard. It says to give the more earnest heed. The more earnest heed. And that word earnest, it's a, I think it's a more superabundant paying attention to. Exceeding. We are to pay attention exceedingly to the things that we have heard. And what are the things that we have heard? I believe that's talking about the Word of God. The things that we've heard regard, I believe it's talking about things that have been preached to us, or things that we've read, things that we've studied. Right. And we need to pay attention to these, lest at any time we should let them slip. Right. And notice those two words, anytime it can slip, the things that we've heard. So how often should we take an earnest heed to paying attention to things that we've heard? It should be all the time. Right. Because at any time it can slip. Even those who we would think are great Christians, prominent men, they have slipped. How many men have we seen in our churches that were once great preachers and were on fire for the Lord, and you thought, man, this guy, he's always going to be in the church. He's a great example. Next thing you know, he doesn't even attend anymore. It doesn't matter who you are. That danger is always there that it might slip.
True.
And then we read, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that I believe that's the word of God, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape that recompense of reward? Well, we see that in the next words, if we neglect so great salvation, we can escape what the penalty of sin is, that death. By salvation. And that salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. It first started with the Lord. In the Old Testament, you had the angels and the prophets all speaking of the coming of the Savior, one who would die for their sins. But it first began with the Lord. If you look ahead to verse 9 and 10, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. But if you look over in chapter 1 of Hebrews, and I believe it is in verse 4. Well, we'll start in verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged of our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This is Jesus. It's the same Jesus that we read in verse 9 of chapter 2. In verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But as we heard from the conference, when he came down from glory, he was made a little lower than the angels. And we see that in verse 9. But at the end of verse 10, we see the captain of their salvation. Jesus, the captain of our salvation. The one that we can escape the reward of sin. The one that we can go to, the one that we have, where we could escape the penalty of sin. And in chapter 2, it says, take more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I think we need to take an earnest heed to the captain of our salvation.
Right.
And then in verse 3, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is of the Lord. It's all of Him. So if we're neglecting a great salvation, and I believe those who are saved can neglect it, we're also neglecting the captain of our salvation.
Right.
And that word neglect, it means to disregard, and it also means to take light of. And when I saw that, I'm like, to take light of, how guilty am I of taking light of the things of the Lord? How guilty am I of taking lightly my salvation that the Lord has given me? How guilty am I of taking lightly the captain of my salvation? And that's the danger of taking that lightly. We see that in verse 2, lest at any time we should let them slip. I believe that's an apostasy. Apostasy can come from that, or in other words, backsliding. And I believe there are many people, I'm not saying in this church, but in churches around the world that are members in good standing that are backsliding. You can come into church, you can walk the walk, you can talk the talk, but what's in your heart? You can come in here and you can think, oh, that so-and-so is on fire for the Lord, but he just knows how to talk. He knows how to walk the walk. But inside, but in his heart, he's backsliding. He's neglecting the captain of his salvation. Let's look at someone in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that this happened to. Turn with me to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter, we'll start in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah heard the word of the Lord. Jonah knew what it was expected of him to do. He was to go to Nineveh and he was to preach to them salvation, because the Lord was going to use him and save all the Ninevites. But Jonah saw the Ninevites as an enemy. He didn't just see them as an enemy of God. He saw them as an enemy of himself. He didn't want these people to be saved. And we can read that in the following verses, especially by the way Jonah responds. The Ninevites were a wicked nation. They hated the Lord, and they hated the Israelites. They hated Jonah. They hated all of them. And in response, Jonah hated them as well. And that's also a reminder for us to not hate our enemies. Jonah knew very well that God was true to his word. He knew that if God said he was going to do something, he was going to do it. And that's why Jonah didn't want to go. He knew the salvation of the Lord. He experienced the salvation of the Lord, and he didn't want that for his enemies. In verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. His first response was, no. He didn't listen to the word of the Lord. He didn't listen to the word of Jehovah. And then you see, but Jonah rose up to flee, went down to Tarshish, first went to Joppa, then to get on a ship to Tarshish. The whole way down to Joppa, he knew he wasn't doing what the Lord wanted him to. The whole way down, he knew he was disobeying the words of the Lord. And then once he gets there, he even looks for the ship to take him to Tarshish. This whole time, he knows he is not doing what he is supposed to. He is neglecting the word of the Lord. And it says he went to Tarshish. He was on his way to Tarshish. He was leaving. What he did was he left the presence of the Lord. He left the Lord. He let the words of the Lord slip. As we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And then in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Give you a bit of a picture of this. He sent a hurricane. That's what tempest is. It's a hurricane. And as we saw the destruction from Helene and Milton, you can imagine that this hurricane was pretty bad. So bad that the ship was about to be broken, as we see in the end of verse 4. I'm sure that the people who went through Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton, I'm sure that they were awake the entire night. And I'm sure that many of them were scared. And we see in verse 5, then the mariners were afraid. So they're the ones working on the boat, the other ones leave on the ship with Jonah. They were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. The storm didn't even wake Jonah. Either it didn't wake him or he didn't care. This is how far he has gotten from the Lord in just a few days, or perhaps more. I don't know how long this journey has been up to this point. But he was fast asleep in the ship. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so, be that God will think upon us that we perish not. It was someone else in the boat that woke him up. It wasn't even the storm. And that storm, as we know, was sent by God because of the sin of Jonah. That just goes to show our sins don't just affect ourselves. God's command to Jonah, it was a personal command. Jonah was supposed to go do this. He didn't do it. Oh, that can't affect anyone else. But no, it affected the men of this boat and the ship. And they're afraid for their lives. And not only that, but for someone else around them to point out his sin. Well, he didn't necessarily point it out directly, but he was letting him know there's a storm and wanted him to pray upon his God. And then in verse 7, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. You can't tell me that was just a coincidence.
Right.
God had his hand in that. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told him. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. They didn't want to just cast this man overboard. They didn't want him to die. They didn't want to kill him. But they had no other choice. In verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. The Lord was making it very clear what needed to be done. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. I can't help but notice throughout this whole time, not once did Jonah cry out to the Lord in repentance of his sin. He is still neglecting the Lord, still neglecting the captain of his salvation. So they took up Jonah, cast him into the sea. Verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I love that verse. Jonah, we're thinking Jonah should not have been there. That's correct. Jonah shouldn't have been there. He should have done what the Lord told him. But when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and Jonah turned and went the other way, was God surprised by it? Was he taken off guard? No, he knew what Jonah was going to do. He's God. But yet, God still used that to save the men on that boat. I believe that each man that was on that boat, the Lord saved. And I think we can see that here in verse 16. And verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So now Jonah has gone from heading down to Joppa, getting onto a ship, in the storm, probably one of the worst storms he's ever experienced, then thrown into the sea. And as he's getting thrown over the boat, I would think that he thought, well, this is it. This is how I die. And then he gets sent, and then he goes all the way to the bottom and is swallowed by a fish to make things worse in his perspective. And then we see in verse 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I want you to notice verse 1. And the verse 1, or in verse 1 it says, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And then verse 2 is where it kind of zones in on what he prayed. And Jonah says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. You see verse 1, fish's belly, and verse 2, belly of hell. He is relating the fish to be hell, to be the grave, to be his death, his tomb, where he will die. And thou heardest my voice. Jonah was at the point of, it doesn't get any worse from here. He is at the bottom, literally at the bottom of the ocean in a fish's belly, who he describes as hell. That's where sin will lead you. And it all started with the neglecting of the captain of his salvation. It starts off with letting it slip. And it just progressively gets worse from there. And in this case, for Jonah, the Lord was not done with him and didn't let him die. I believe there can come a point where the Lord might be done with one and allows him to die. But in verse 3 we read, for thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah finally recognized his sin. He cries out to the Lord, he repents of his sin. And then we see in verse 8 that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah thought he was going to die down there. At this point, he thought this was it. And yet he still while he's still down there, he still proclaims salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And what does that mean? Salvation is of the Lord. That it's all of him. Salvation is all of him. And this salvation he's talking about, I don't believe he's talking about when one is saved from his sins. I believe that's a picture here, but he's referring to he's in the belly of hell. And while he's in there, he believes he's going to die, he still knows that the Lord can get him out of it. That the captain of his salvation can get him out of that. And we heard, I think it was Brother Dan talk, the captain of our salvation is bigger than any storm we can face in this life. Right. And I think it was Brother Hiller that talked about the thorns and the thistles that happen in our lives. The captain of our salvation is bigger than that. I mean, look at Jonah in the belly of a fish in the bottom in the ocean. The ocean's how many miles deep? Hundreds of miles. I mean, you can, like, the world's tallest building, you can fit in the ocean and still have miles above it. This is where Jonah is. It can't get any worse than this. Oh, well, if he's in the ocean, he might not be in the ocean. But you know what I'm saying? It's bad. It doesn't get any worse. But yet he knows the salvation is of the Lord. He knows that the Lord can still get him out of it.
Amen.
And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah may have stunk, but he was on land, and I'm sure he was happy. And that's how it is. I mean, when we're in sin, when we're living in sin, we're going to stink. And people are going to know, because others will smell it, figuratively. But it all started with Jonah neglecting his captain. Now, captain, down. But a captain, he's the one in charge. He's the one that has the authority. And the captain, thinking of a captain of a ship, they have duties. And the captain of a ship, it's his job for the safety and the security of those on his ship. A captain also knows the navigation. He knows where to go. Captain's also in charge of the maintenance. The captain is also in charge of emergency response and so on. There's many duties to a captain. And the captain cares about who's on his ship. Our captain is Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, where it says salvation is of the Lord, you'll notice that Lord is in all capital letters. We talked about Jehovah last week. And how Jehovah and how Jesus Christ is the Jehovah in the Old Testament. So salvation is of Jesus Christ. He's our captain. What more do we have to worry about? We get worried about what's going on in this life. We get worried about what's going on in the Middle East. We get worried about who may be coming over the border. We get worried about all these different things. What other laws? Who's going to be the next president? But why? Why do we get so concerned with those things when we have our captain who's navigating for us? We can sit, in a sense, sit back and enjoy the ride because we know everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
Because this isn't all we have. This life isn't just all we have. I think it's James, where this life is just a vapor. Here 1 second, gone the next. But we have all of eternity with Christ.
Amen.
We have all of eternity to get to know him more, because that's how long it's going to take us to get to know the captain of our salvation. It's going to take us an eternity. And we're going to keep knowing more and more and more about him every day while we're in eternity. But we're here now, and we need to take a more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. Take more earnest heed to the things that's in this book. This is the Word of God. I believe it is perfect. I believe it is complete. It is the owner's manual to our lives.
Amen.
We face these problems. How am I going to get through this? Well, it's right here. It's simple as that. And if you're sitting there and goes, oh, it's not that simple, well, then you're probably not reading it. But we need to take a more earnest heed to this and be careful to not take lightly our salvation and to not take lightly the captain of our salvation.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Gabriel.
Amen.
Let's stand. Thankful for that message, and from my standpoint, it made good sense.
Amen.
And it was clear. And I'm thankful for it. And for yet another direction that you can take the thought of seeing Jesus as the captain of our salvation, in this case, the result of neglect. And a very vivid illustration of the end result of that neglect. May God warn us, get our attention. Let's pray, be dismissed, and we'll reconvene at top of the hour. A normal flow of service, except for get to 18 to preach for you today. Brother Bowen will be preaching at the 11 o'clock hour. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the day. Thank you for this message, for the clarity of it, for the warning that was in it. Let us take heed. Let us not neglect your word or your person. Let us not let it slip. But let us focus upon you and make you the priority. Make pleasing you the goal. Make honoring you our life's work. And so we know that means our lives must be different. God, help us to live our lives in a way that pleases you and honors you and points others to you. I pray that you'd be with these words, cause them to find lodging in our hearts. We do pray for Brother Bowen, and soon be standing before us. Pray that you'd give him the message that would stir our hearts as well. And we thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Brother John, thank you, sir. We praise you. Good business. Easy to follow. No, wasn't confusing at all.
I'm dirty.